say is in a crucial stage. Not because of foreign wars we wage, more to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people try to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing wet. Taking your right to self-defense. They say you're safe, but they don't make sense. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing. Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tapping to the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. I want to thank everybody for being here, and I know Sunday I was talking an awful lot about taking this week off, but you know what? I couldn't bring myself to it when I heard the news today in regards to what is currently happening with Mr. Jack Phillips out in the Denver, Colorado area, and of course his business, the Masterpiece Cake Shop. The news travels quickly. Now, if you'll recall, Sunday we did talk about Baronelle Stoltzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers. And seems that she ran afoul of what is referred to as the Washington, the Washington Law Against Discrimination, which is just all kinds of awesome. So I just had to get on the air. I could not help it. Because, see, here's the problem. And for those of you who are at the home platform, you can see today's show description. You can see today's show title. And hopefully a few folks will meander on in here in a bit. Kel Fritzy, who was just on the air, finished up with her show, Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Network over there. Global Patriot Radio Network, I should say. Where she was having quite the discussion about issues. She was bouncing back and forth between the Islamic civilizational jihad that we're currently facing, as is one of her common topics, and also some of the issues that she's having with the LGBT activism that is currently being pushed on. And for those of you who listened, you heard her very passionate, as she normally is. I do think that it is important to understand, though, she's not anti-LGBT. She's anti the activism, the in-your-face, the we're going to do crap that is not ordinarily acceptable in public because you can't stop us. that gets kind of a pushback from a lot of folks, as well it should. And it's important to note that there are a lot, in fact, I dare say a majority of people that are actually part of the LGBT community, actually members thereof, that don't particularly care for this kind of thing too. A lot of the activists are just looking for excuses to act up. And I think Kel made a lot of great points during that time. So if you did not hear, if you did not get a chance to check it out, by all means, hit the archives and do so. It was a great show, Kel. See, Bigfoot has just joined us as well. Thank you for joining us, Bigfoot. Of course, he was hanging out over there in the chat room as well. BTR is still having some technical glitches here and there. Kel's chat room crashed during a point, and towards the end of the show, it booted her out, and she couldn't get back in. She assumed the chat room was down. But folks like Bigfoot and Gary Comforter and myself and Vorpabyte for a bit as well, we all were still hanging out, and we were having a good time listening to the remainder of Kel's show. So rest assured, Kel, your chat room survived, even though for whatever reason BTR kicked you out of it. So hopefully it won't do that to me tonight. Anyway, so I mentioned the reason that I came back. And so since I'm here tonight, I undoubtedly, unquestionably will be here the rest of the week. I can't stay away. I will take a week off at some point in the near future. It may actually be into July now at this point, though. I don't know. So here's the point. Let's get to the topic, because here's the real deal. Religious liberty just so happens to be a primary founding principle of the United States of America. Well, it is under attack by the political left, and I know that's not exactly a newsflash. But the strikes against it are getting more direct. The current tactic, of course, is to use claims of discrimination to force people of faith to participate in acts that are counter to their beliefs in the name of inclusion and tolerance. There are a few examples of this forced participation making headlines right now, but I'll focus on just two. Brunell Stutzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers, she found herself in the crosshairs of the Washington judicial system when she refused to make a custom floral arrangement for a same-sex wedding back in 2013. She is a Christian and, as such, feels that it is wrong for her to actively use her talents for an activity that is contrary to her faith. Because Stossman's refusal, she was found to have violated the Washington law against discrimination, despite having offered to sell the couple whatever pre-made floral arrangements they would like. Now, I want to focus on that for a second. She offered to sell them stuff. She sells stuff to people all the time. She didn't want to use her creativity to participate, to be part of this activity that is, in fact, a violation of the tenets of her faith. There's a time in America where we would not even think for a second of trying to force someone to do that. This Washington law against discrimination, it says she doesn't have a choice. The fact that she offered to sell these people pre-made floral arrangements demonstrates that she is not coming from a place of bigotry. She's not coming from a place of hate. She's not coming from a place of discrimination. She's willing to conduct business with these folks. She's willing to let them be her customers. If they want to come in and get something that's already been done, and I'm quite certain there were pre-made floral arrangements that were beautiful and acceptable, and then that should have been good enough. And if not, guess what? You're free to go somewhere else. There are plenty of florists and bakers and whatever else you may be looking for, plenty of them out there that are willing to do this type of business. It doesn't violate their faith. It doesn't violate the tenets of their religion. They would be free to do so and would probably do a better job than someone who's forced to do it against their will. If I myself am looking to have a marriage, a wedding ceremony of any kind, I don't want people that are being forced to work against their will. I want people that are there because they want to be part of it. They're going to do a better job. That should be common sense. But the fact that she was willing to do business, willing to sell them product, means that she is not being discriminatory. Period. Now, the case made its way into the direction of the Supreme Court of the United States, but it did not get picked up by the Supreme Court. They kicked it back to the Washington State Courts back in 2018, shortly after the Supreme Court made their very narrow ruling on the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, where they determined that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had demonstrated animus towards the religious beliefs of the Masterpiece Cake Shop owner, Mr. Jack Phillips. Now, the high court, while kicking the case back down to the state court, warned the state against making the same mistake that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had made, and then washed their hands of the Arlene's Flowers matter, at least for the moment. The Washington Supreme Court issued a ruling on June 6, 2019, just this past week, as this official date of the live broadcast is June 11, 2019. So just last week, the Washington Supreme Court issued a ruling against Ms. Strosman, stating that she had indeed violated the Washington law against discrimination. The Washington Supreme Court also said that after having, and I'm quoting now, painstakingly reviewed the record for any sign of intolerance on behalf of this court or the Benton County Superior Court, the two judiciary bodies to consider this case, that they were, again, back to quoting, confident that the two courts gave full and fair consideration to this dispute and avoided animus towards religion. So in simple terms, after checking themselves for animus towards Ms. Stossman's religious beliefs, they now have ordered Stossman that she must ignore her religious beliefs. The Washington Supreme Court has decreed that their law for forced participation is more critical to the well-being of the citizens of the state of Washington than religious liberty. As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court did in fact issue a ruling on behalf of Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 2018. The court found in a 7-2 decision that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had openly expressed hostility towards the religious beliefs of Phillips. The Supreme Court also ruled, based on that animus alone, that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had indeed overstepped legal bounds, and they dismissed the case in favor of Phillips. However, they did not address the deeper issue of religious liberty, which then left the door open for further legal action against Phillips. Masterpiece Cake Shop and Jack Phillips are now facing a third lawsuit. The second one was tossed out rather quickly. This third lawsuit, also as the previous two, alleging discrimination. This latest suit was filed June 5th, 2019, in the Denver District Court on behalf of Autumn Scardina, by attorneys Paula Greason and John McHugh. Now, Scardina is the same woman who filed the second lawsuit alleging discrimination after Masterpiece Cake Shop denied her request for a cake to celebrate her gender transition. Now, so far, Reporting on the latest suit has been vague on the details about the requested cake this time. However, previous filings indicate that Scardina has gone out of her way on several occasions to seek cakes from Masterpiece Cake Shop that they simply will not make. Requests include cakes with pentagrams and upside-down crosses. Even one that would have featured a large figure of Satan licking a 9-inch black operational sex toy. Bottom line is what Mr. Phillips has going on is a would-be LGBTQ social justice warrior is harassing Phillips in order to try and punish him for his perceived bigotry. Now, it's only a matter of time before the Supreme Court has one of these cases, or one an awful lot like them, in front of them again. There are only so many times that they'll be able to dodge rendering a verdict on the merit of religious liberty. Given the push from the political left, the matter is unavoidable. Now, don't get me wrong. I do really sympathize. I understand why the high court would prefer lower courts to handle the issue. After all, the Constitution is very clear on the matter. However, no one wants to be the person or persons who opens the door to give a pass to real bigotry. I mean, seriously, stepping back from a second from my viewpoint, and I'll ask you guys to do the same, stepping back away from the viewpoint of the staunch conservative who believes in the rule of law and believes in the Constitution, believes that people should not be forced to do things that they don't want to do, it would be really easy for somebody to simply claim a religious exemption. But circumstances would make it very clear if it is in fact a sincerely held belief or a prejudice that's at play. If a business will serve customers from a protected group but refuses to engage in particular tasks for special events like same-sex weddings, gender reassignment celebrations, and things like that, well, if he won't do those things for the customer, then it does not equate to bigotry. Now, it doesn't mean it's not, per se, but everybody on the left, especially the activists, need to quickly understand that it doesn't mean that there is an equivalency. It doesn't mean that this means that, because it doesn't. If a business refuses to serve a member of a so-called protective group at all, then in that case, you may reasonably assume discrimination. But that is a different set of circumstances, plain and clear. Discrimination, despite the history of occurrence in this nation, is un-American. It is an unwelcome practice that is frowned upon by people on both sides of the political spectrum. People being forced to participate in activities that they do not wish to be a part of is also un-American. In these particular cases, you have both the First Amendment protections of freedom of religion and freedom of speech at play, as well as the long-held belief of freedom of association. Now, freedom of association does in fact allow for bigotry to occur. In truth, there's not really anything that can stop it. No matter how many laws you pass, no matter how much you penalize people, it's not really the place for government to intervene with that, quite honestly. Not just simple bigotry, certainly not in the free market. But freedom of association does, in fact, allow for bigotry to occur. But in those cases, that bigotry will be out in the open. And isn't that really better? I mean, when you have it out in the open for everyone to see, doesn't that give you a better option to make better decisions because you're better informed? You can make decisions based on knowing the truth about the people you interact with in life. You can make decisions about whether or not you really want to make a place an order for a cake, for example, with an individual. Because if I was a member of one of these protected classes, I would only want to do business with people that were supportive and willing. I wouldn't want to do business because ultimately when you're in business, the end result, and I know the left still struggles to understand this, is that you want to make a profit. And as word gets out that you may actually be an open bigot, lots of people on both sides of the political spectrum stop doing business with you. Laws like the Washington Law Against Discrimination don't stop bigotry. They only serve to hide it. Freedom of speech gives everyone the right to their very own political views and the right to express those views using their talents. The culture war has been and is being fought in the political sphere, making the refusal to participate a form of political speech in and of itself. You have the right to express yourself. You have the right to use your talents to express yourself. You have the right to monetize that expression if people are willing to pay you for those talents as you do so. As such, you also have the right to refuse to use your talents that would be an expression for something that you are opposed to. So if you're compelled to do this, that is a form of compelled speech. And compelled speech in face of the freedom of expression is a clear violation of, again, one of the most basic tenets so important to the fundamental liberties of this nation that it was the first one specifically enumerated in the Bill of Rights. The same as the freedom of religion. And that freedom of religion in this country acknowledges everyone's right to pursue their faith as long as their practices do not cause actual, that's an important word here, as long as they do not cause actual harm to others. Actual harm does not mean hurting your feelings. Sorry, leftists. Sorry, snowflakes. Actual harm does not mean hurting your feelings. If it did, then we wouldn't even have freedom of speech. That's your first clue, boys and girls. That is your first clue. You shouldn't need another clue. If this was Saturday morning, that would be the clue that Shaggy and Scooby just found. Like, there's a clue right here, isn't there, Scoob? Uh-huh. Freedom. The proper application of freedom of speech, of freedom of expression, guarantees that you will, on some occasion, be offended. It guarantees that at some occasion that if you are sensitive or thin-skinned that your feelings will be hurt. That's why hate speech is protected speech. That's why we have to remember that even when we hear things that we don't like, that freedom to express those thoughts and those ideas are protected, and we must continue to demand that our government does not move in the direction of the left to try and take that from us. One more time, just thanks, Gil. Just for the benefit of anybody late to the game, freedom of religion acknowledges your right to pursue your faith as long as the practices do not cause actual harm to others. And actual harm does not mean hurting your feelings. Sorry, snowflakes. forcing people to defy their conscience concerning their religious views is on a philosophical level, not on a physical plane, but on a philosophical level, because I know some leftists are going to lose their mind if they hear this. But to force people to do this, it's on the same level. It is literally no different than forced conversion therapy, which folks in the LGBT community go nuts over when they hear about it. Now, remember, conversion therapy, it has a spotty track record. Some folks claim it does. And if you go into it willingly, that's a different scenario. But people have been forced into it. It's not a good thing. It's not going to work too well if you're forced. But it really is no different than forced conversion therapy or re-education camps run by fascists. Because guess what? Forcing people to defy their conscience on religious views or on any other views, if you're going to force them to give up their beliefs, regardless of what circumstance of beliefs you're talking about, that is fascist. All you little Antifa people need to be beating up the people that are trying to force bakers to bake cakes and florists to make special arrangements when they tell you that because of their faith, they must respectfully decline. Don't go beat up the bakers. Don't go beat up the florists. Don't go beat up the photographers. It's the people that are trying to force them to do it anyway. Those are the ones that you should be beating up, because those people, in this case, are the fascists. The reason it's on that same philosophical level is because to do so demands that people be dehumanized and all value torn away from their thoughts. Laws like the Washington Law Against Discrimination that would force people to participate in activities that violate the basic tenets of their faith do precisely that. At the end of the day, in the United States of America, no group, organization, or government at any level has the right to strip fundamental freedoms from the citizens of this nation. If the Washington Law Against Discrimination indeed does require Ms. Strutzman to make floral arrangements for same-sex weddings, then it denies Ms. Strutzman a few fundamental freedoms. First one being her freedom of religion, as she believes the Bible definition of marriage, that being between a man and a woman, she should not be forced to use her talents or skills to participate in something that is a violation of that belief. Second, it denies her freedom of speech, as it compels her to show support for things that she simply does not agree with. And it compels her to show that support through the use of her talents, which should be hers to control. If that is the case, then the Washington Law Against Discrimination cannot withstand a Supreme Court hearing. It's simply unconstitutional. And moreover, the continuing efforts by the left against people like Ms. Strutzman and people like Jack Phillips, well, it's just simply downright un-American. Now, Vorp in the chat room says, socialism cannot tolerate a divided loyalty. They must control every single thought you have. And that is the ultimate goal. Vorp is dead on with that assessment. Seems we've been talking quite a bit lately on this show about the dangers inherent of where the left is today. How they no longer ask for tolerance or for acceptance. Now they demand participation, and they're using the legislation to do it. They're using the court system to force compliance. Jack Phillips went all the way to the Supreme Court in 2018 and won his case. But the Supreme Court refused to rule on the greater issue, the deeper issue at play. And I'm going to pick up right where I left off, right after this Edwards Notebook sandwich. So stay with me, guys. I'll be right back. Thanks for being here. And don't go anywhere, please.
The presidential campaign season is just revving up, but it may be the easiest for voters to figure out. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, both President Trump and his Democrat Party opponent will have their own unique agendas. President Trump's agenda will include growing the U.S. economy. His Democrat opponent's agenda? Stop Trump. The Trump agenda will, of course, include securing the borders. The agenda of Trump's Democrat opponent will be to stop Trump. Low unemployment is also part of the president's agenda. His Democrat opponent will zero in on his or her agenda to stop Trump. Trump's agenda also includes bringing back America's industrial prowess. His Democrat opponent's agenda? Stop Trump. Trump's agenda includes fair trade deals and lower taxes. The Democrat agenda? Stop Trump. Affordable medical care, a further reduction of regulations, and improving infrastructure round out the president's agenda, while his one-track pony Democrat opponent's agenda is Stop Trump, which also means to stop America. I'm Ron Edwards. Let's meet Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us and 12 a.m. Sundays on Talk America Radio Network.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
This is Dan Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Do you remember when you were in basic training or your first duty assignment? I do. What about those men and women who trained with you? Have you ever wondered what happened to them? I have. What about some of the people who served with you a good part of the time you were in the military? Ever wonder what happened to them? I have. Do you think they might also be wondering what happened to you? I think so. Would you like to find out? Here is your veteran's tip of the day. Find out about your buddies by joining TogetherWeServed.com. This is a free service, and TWS has reunited over 1.8 million vets in all branches of the service, and they can help you find your friends. You may be surprised at who you can find. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
If leftists in California have their way, the Golden State will forever be tarnished. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. Not that long ago, California symbolized a sense of youthful optimism. She was a magnet for those seeking a better opportunity. Her cities were one-time symbols of great civility, especially San Francisco, which was one of the five most beautiful cities on earth. Unfortunately, those of the political left, whose long-time goal has been to collapse our beloved republic, have taken full control of the political reins in that state and are furiously working to literally destroy her via sanctuary cities, being overrun by illegal border crossers, of course, and Skid Row bums. Former Attorney General Eric the Red Holder once made reference to utilizing California as an example of how to collapse America as a whole in order to advance the political agenda of the left, which includes the elimination of free speech, freedom of thought, and opportunities for all, replacing them with misery and godless government control from cradle to grave. My fellow Americans, I believe we shall overcome such madness, but there is no time to waste. Join me Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us. I'm Ron Edwards.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
All right, everybody, I am back. Thank you so very much. And I'd like to take a moment just to let you guys know, if you're interested, for those of you who are listening live or who catches this show on the same night, Tuesday, June 11th, 2019, Ron Edwards is actually going to be a guest this evening in BZ's show over in SHR Media. So for those of you who do venture over in that direction, might be worth your listen. Usually is good to hear Ron. Anyway, let's pick up where we left off. So again, I mentioned that those of you who listen Sunday, you already heard me talk about Burnell Schultzman. Schultzman is, of course, the owner of Arlene's Flowers. Her case went before the state Supreme Court. She had already been found to be in violation of Washington's little law here, because she refused to make specialized floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding. She offered them to sell them anything that was pre-made. So anything here in my shop, you are welcome to, but I cannot, with clear conscience, because of my Christian beliefs, participate in your chosen activity. I'm not passing judgment on you. I simply am holding myself accountable to my beliefs. Passing judgment on them would have been refusing to sell anything to them. This happened back in 2013. It made its way all the way through the state and then made its way to the federal. And the Supreme Court of the United States, already hearing the Masterpiece Cake case, kicked it back. Didn't want to hear it. Said, okay, we're doing this one, and this is all we're doing, because this one we can get away with an extremely narrow decision. Now, when I first heard narrow decision, I thought they were talking about how close the vote was. I thought, okay, yeah, no surprise, another 5-4. But then I saw 7-2 was where the judges came down on this. I'm like, narrow? How was this narrow? And then I actually read a big portion of the decision. It became very clear that when everyone said narrow, they were talking about in legal terms that it was a very narrow decision, so that it only applied to this case. And the reason it only applied to the case for Mr. Jack Phillips was because this organization out in Colorado that calls itself the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had from start to finish harassed Mr. Phillips because of his religious belief. They attacked him, tried to destroy his business because they couldn't stand the fact that he was a Christian and he was standing by his Christian principles. They openly demonstrated animus so openly that even liberal judges on the Supreme Court of the United States recognized it for what it was: harassment and a denial of one of the basic tenets of liberty in this nation, one of the founding principles of this nation, religious liberty. This nation wouldn't exist as it is without the desire to have religious liberty. The Puritans would have never tried to escape England, so there would not have been the same type of colonization. Who knows what the course of this nation would have taken if it wasn't for the desire for religious liberty. Given the current crop of justices on the liberal side of the aisle that currently populate the Supreme Court, when you get a 7-2 decision, then that might as well be unanimous. But the reason you were able to get 7-2, the reason you were able to get some of those left-leaning jurists to come down on the side of Mr. Phillips, was because it was clear that they could adjudicate this, they could leave their verdict on the ground for everyone to see without having to say on the merits of religious liberty itself, this is what we're going to do. This comes across the board. No more of these anti-discriminatory laws that actually takes people's God-given liberties away. That's what we had. Again, I made the point earlier. I understand why the Supreme Court doesn't want to do that. They don't want to be the one who has to explain to the people that have supported them why they came down on the side of religious liberty. Because religious liberty means people have the right to disagree. This goes right back to an article I wrote last week where I was telling you about the reason they want the Hyde Amendment gone, the reason abortion is such a hot-button issue for these people, other than the fact that they are a bit of a death cult, is the fact that they don't want you believing for a second anymore that you actually do have a right to disagree with them. They don't want you thinking, not for a second, that your opinion means just as much as theirs. It is just as valid and more so to you because you're the one who should be in control of your life as much as you can be. That's the nature of liberty. No give-me's, no handouts, no standing in soup lines. You being in control of what you do, you making decisions that are either going to affect you in positive ways or negative ways, and you being responsible for the outcomes of those decisions. And if you should need a safety net, then it should be through the actions of your community that those safety nets are available. It was never intended to be the role of the federal government to get involved in such a fashion. But now you can't even make an argument against ending that kind of thing without being attacked by people on both sides of the political spectrum. How could you be against this? How could you be against that? I'm against people going to Washington, D.C. I'm against people going to Washington, D.C. and then grabbing more power and authority for our federal government than the Constitution says they have. That's how I can be against it. I'm not against people being able to get the help they need if they genuinely need it. I just want that to come from someplace other than the federal government. That's what churches are for. That's what family is for. That's what charities are for. They exist for that specific reason. And they, all of them, will be far more efficient at doing the job than the federal government could ever be. If you really want to help people, you'll get them away from the federal government. The big problem here, though, is exactly what's happened. By only ruling on the fact that this Colorado Civil Rights Commission had harassed Mr. Phyllis because of their open hostility, their easily spotted animus towards the religion aspect, they didn't say that you couldn't have laws that would curtail religious liberties. They just said you can't do it in a fashion that there's open animus. So now all you have to do is go back and word things and make statements like the Washington Supreme Court did against our florist. Ms. Stoltzman, they reviewed themselves after the Supreme Court kicked that case back out. Said, don't do what Colorado did. Now look at it again. And do what you're going to do. So they went back and they looked at the records, and then they heard the case again, and they said, we're quite confident that we had no animus towards the religion. They couldn't bring themselves to say what religion. Tell me how that's not animus. Explain to me how you can legitimately pass a law and believe you should enforce it that says point blank, a protected class of people's feelings are more important than your religious liberty, more important than your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because that's what you're saying. This group of people's right to be happy is more important than your right to be happy and to practice your religion that does no actual harm to anyone else. And that's a very important part of the phrasing. Again, actual harm. The perceived harm, no. Actual harm does not require perception. It doesn't require interpretation. It doesn't require a psychologist to explain how this person now will be scarred for decades because someone had the gall, the nerve to tell them no. How dare you? We came to you because you're really, really good at this, and we wanted you to make us flowers. Or in the case of Mr. Jack Phillips, we came to you because your shop makes the best cakes here. I said no. There's a ton of other people that are, well, they may not be as good as we are, but they're pretty good, and they'll be more than happy to help you. They'll do whatever sick, perverse, twisted thing you may want. Let me go over the details here again. This third lawsuit that has now been brought up against Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Once again, being harassed, using the court system to harass this Christian who's simply trying to run a bakery. Facing allegations of discrimination by someone who's already, on the day of the Supreme Court hearing, wanted to bring a second suit against Mr. Phillips, and it was tossed out rather quickly, non-meritoriously. It just, boom, get it out of here. This Autumn Scardia. Scardina? Yeah, Scardina, sorry. This Autumn Scardina. Autumn has been a pain in the backside, intentionally focusing on Jack Phillips, has been harassing Jack Phillips. Here are some of the cakes. Again, this third lawsuit that currently brought up, the reason why I'm making such a big deal about this today and talking about both these cases, because they're literally on top of each other and are practically the same thing. And they're not the only cases we've had like this. These are some of the things that Autumn has wanted. The second lawsuit that got tossed out, well, you're being discriminatory because you wouldn't make a cake for me celebrating my sexual reassignment business. The gender transition, wanted to celebrate her gender transition. That's how it was put. But on multiple other occasions, she's also tried to force them to make cakes that a Christian would want no part of, would understandably refuse. Cakes with pentagrams on them, with upside-down crosses on them, and one of the most perverse things I've ever heard of, wanted a cake that would feature a large figure of Satan, literally licking a 9-inch black operational and turned on before the reveal of the cake, operational sex toy. How does a court not see this and immediately determine that it is Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop that is in fact being harassed, not discrimination against the LGBT community that's going on, but a harassment by at least one would-be LGBT social justice warrior? It brings me back to this initial question, though, because the courts, when they're making rulings, these lower courts continue to find on the side of the protected group, on the side of the leftist activist, on the side of eroding or downright purging the freedom of religion. Religious liberty is scoffed at. It's laughed at. We're treated like we're a moron if we express our desire to protect it. How many times is Jack Phillips going to face this type of harassment? Well, sadly, unless the courts actually come down strong on the side of religious liberty and make an example out of the harassers, he can expect it from now on, from now moving forward until he's no longer in business. And guess what? Given today's mob mentality and the social media platforms that are a springboard for every social justice warrior who wants to cry out against their perceptions of bigotry, their understanding of the subjective truths that they live, because objective truth means nothing. It's only their truth that means anything to them. He can expect it to continue. Unless our judicial system actually gets back to the basic fundamentals of what this nation was built on. Religious liberty being one of the tantamount founding principles. They're real quick to throw out there the notion of separation of church and state. But they fail to ever tell you what the separation of church and state actually means as it was written. Congress shall pass no law prohibiting the free exercise of. They cannot establish a religion, and they cannot keep you from worship of any kind as long as it does no actual harm to anyone else. Because again, your rights end where the next person's rights begin. But actual harm, again, that is probably the most important part. Sorry, snowflakes. Melt down if you want, but your feelings getting a boo-boo isn't actual harm. Toughen up, buttercup. It's time to move on. Real world doesn't give you safe spaces. You have to build your own. And you do that by building yourself a home and a family and creating a sphere in which you get to be the deciding opinion. But as soon as you step foot outside of the home that you've built, no matter how it looks, no matter what it is, whether you're living in a mansion or living in a one-bedroom apartment somewhere, that's the home you build for yourself through your own actions, through your choices, your responsibility, your liberty. That's your home. As soon as you step foot outside of that little realm that is your kingdom, then once again, your opinion means the same as everyone else's. You do not have a right to force other people to take on your opinion. You can make your case. You can make your argument. You can try and convince them. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have the right to use the tools of government to force people to go along with you. You don't have the right to compel people to express support for ideas, notions, and activities that they simply do not support. And you do not have the right to compel people to deny their own conscience. If you had that right, then you could not. You cannot make the argument, leftist, that you fully supported the conscientious objectors to the Vietnam War. I will not go serve because I cannot, in clear conscience, go be part of this unjust war. You can't support that person and that idea and then not support the idea of somebody who cannot be a part of a same-sex wedding because of their conscience, because of their deeply held personal beliefs, be that religious or otherwise. On a philosophical level, it is the exact same thing. Now, you're going to want to try and use some circular leftist logic and explain to me how it isn't. But your attempts at intellectual gymnastics will fail and fail miserably because you can't make the case. There's not a case to be made. If you think it's different, then you're just wrong. Sorry. If you can't see how philosophically they're the same, then you're not ready to have this conversation. I can't help you. You're going to have to, if you're so inclined, you're going to have to go in and do some research and do some reading and learn about philosophy and learn about how to actually critically think and learn how to make genuine comparisons between apples to apples instead of apples to bowling balls or apples to bananas or apples to Scooby-Dooby-Doo. You can't do it. And that's where leftist logic had you going everywhere. The leftist logic is literally an oxymoron. Logic's left at the door. They like to sound logical. You got people like Kristen Gillibrand out here trying to explain how some things are just so bad we simply can't accept them anymore. Some things are so immoral you can't accept them anymore. Like being pro-life is the same thing as being racist now. That's essentially what she was saying. On an intellectual level, she wants to make that connection. It's an intellectually bankrupt idea. It is an intellectually dishonest premise that she is putting forward, but she sounds so eloquent when she says it. Still not helping her in the polls any. Sadly, as obnoxious as her statement is, it's not even close to the worst things we're hearing from some of the other candidates. All of them desperate for attention. I keep hoping for the best. I keep hoping that our judicial system will return to a reset to the Constitution and will put aside their personal feelings, you know, like they're expected to do, and make decisions sitting in their chambers based on what the Constitution says and based on the intent as it was written at the time it was written, because that is the only way that we get to keep our liberty, religious or otherwise. But if they won't do that, the longer that they wait to try to do that, the further and further away we are. So it leaves me with the simple question that I started this show out with, and that is, how much longer are we really going to have any semblance of religious liberty? And we should all be asking that question, because once religious liberty is gone, all liberty is gone. That's going to have to be it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate you listening. Those of you listening at Utah's Talk Authority, appreciate you joining me as I bring a little East Tennessee flavor to Utah's Talk Authority. For those of you hanging out in the chat room, Bigfoot, check out his blogs over at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Well worth your time. Kel Fritzy, check out her radio work. You can find her at Red Fox Blogger Radio and at Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Network, right here at BTR. Chief joined us. You can hear him on Simple Facts of Life on Wednesdays right here at BTR. And Vorpalbyte, thank you so very much for being here as well. In the meanwhile, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort and, more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. See you tomorrow night, guys. I'm out.
built upon a solid dream, like nothing else the world has seen. We built a promise on a dream. We built a promise, we 13. We crossed the land bridge, across the ocean, a long, long time ago. We tracked the herds here, we followed fortune on the glacial ice and snow. We came as sailors, searching for adventure, came in from the east. We crossed the ocean, followed fortune, and our numbers, they increased. Before the people stepped onto the shore, 2/3 of the first ones to die, 'cause along with the trade goods, they brought new disease. Worse when the cultures collide. We built a promise on a dream, like nothing else the world has seen. We built a promise on a dream. We built a promise, we 13.
Promise on a dream.